Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies. And destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. Amen. This is a psalm of humility, a psalm of repentance. It's a psalm of asking for deliverance. The early church actually would recite this psalm during Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday would be primarily the beginning of the Lenten season. And they would use this psalm. This psalm is also known as Paul's psalm. And you'll see a little reason why as we go in there. And so this is in a time of great distress for David. Again, we don't know exactly the situation, but knowing David's life, you know, he was in a lot of these situations where the enemies surrounded him, either enemies from outside Israel or even enemies within Israel, primarily Saul, and then his son Absalom. And so we don't know exactly what, so it could be something happening outside or inside, but it's something that gives him great distress. And so he starts off like he starts off a lot of what they call the penitent psalms. And he says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. It means the same thing. So he's using Hebrew poetry to kind of double down. And you see this is a very common Hebrew a rhetoric style. Jesus would say, truly, truly, I say to you. They seem to repeat different phrases, but they repeat it in different ways. And it's not just poetry, even though it's poetic. It's just a way of saying, Lord, this is really important. When Jesus says, truly, truly, he's saying, hey, guys, this is really important. In fact, sometimes he'll say just directly, I say to you again in this way. And so he's using this very Hebrew way of speaking and writing. And so, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Now, this is where it gets like really like theologically deep. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. This is very different than if you remember like the publican or the Pharisee in the book of Luke, where he says, Lord, you know, answer me because I'm so faithful to you. Answer me because I do this. Answer me because I tithe and I do all these things. And this is basically the difference between self-righteousness, right, and really humility. And so David is saying, Lord, answer me. Like, I'm in trouble, but not because I'm such a good servant, not because I'm your son, not because I'm such a great person and I've been faithful to you, and you know, and I go to morning prayer, and this is why you should do this. And I remember when I was a youth pastor. And I love going to early morning prayer at our church. They had it every day. They had it at 5:30. And so 7 o'clock, we're blessed, okay? And so very early in the morning, and I mean, you know, it'd be packed. And it'd come in, and then afterwards, it would be prayer time, and they would basically turn the lights off turn on some music, and the music's a little loud because people are loud when they're praying. And you could hear, I could hear some of the parents because I was a youth pastor, so I know these parents. And it's just, not that I was over, listening to their prayers, they were just so loud that, you know, everyone could hear them. And there was so much bargaining going on. You know, Lord, if my son gets into Stanford, God, I will do this and I'll do this and I'll do this. And that's a self-righteous faith. And let's be honest, we do that all the time. I do that all the time until Holy Spirit, I catch myself. God, if you bless my business, Lord, man, I'm going to give so much to missions, you know, and these type of things. And how about God just wants to bless your business because he's your loving father, not because you're going to do anything for him. I mean, is there really anything that we could really do for him if you really think about it? And so, but we see kind of like this self-righteousness inside of us. Answer me either because I did this or because I will do this. You catch the nuance? So answer me because, I've been faithful to you, or I will be faithful to you. That's still prayers. That's still self-righteousness. And David says, answer me, Lord, because you're faithful. Not based on my merit or on what I do or even what I say or what I'm going to do, but because you are faithful and you are righteous. Right? I mean, this is why they call this the Psalm of Humility and Penitence. And he says, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, because, Lord, what I deserve is actually your judgment. I don't deserve your faithfulness. I don't deserve your righteousness. What I do is I deserve your judgment. So please, Lord, you know, like do not enter into judgment with your servant. And this is why they call this a Pauline psalm. Not that Paul wrote it, but it's got Pauline ideas and signature in it. It says, for in your sight, no man living is righteous. It reminds us of Romans. There is none righteous, not one. No one seeks after God. No one does good. And so we see that Paul received a lot of his interpretation and his wisdom, his inspiration from many of David's psalms. So there's a few of them. They call them the Pauline psalms, and these are one of them. For in your sight, no man living is righteous. So think about what David is saying. Who is he really pointing to? He's pointing to the Messiah, right? Because, yeah, there's no man living that's righteous, but there is some man who's going to be righteous, and it's going to be the Lord. But for the enemy, now he gets to what he's going through. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who've long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart is appalled, or the word desolate, within me. And so this is what happens when you go through really difficult times. You go into dark places. Your mind starts thinking thoughts that you would have never thought before. Like it gets really dark. You get really suspicious. You don't trust anyone. And this is just how David is expressing what he's going through. And many of us that have been in these dark places, this is true, right? This is exactly what it feels like. It feels like I'm in these dark places. It feels like I'm dead in some ways. And so he's really expressing his despair before the Lord. And then always, like David's psalm, it's all, and I don't want you to get the idea that David is schizophrenic. He's not. But it really reveals the human condition, because we could be in this despair, and then David, what he does, he starts thinking about God. And this is how we get out of this darkness and out of the pit. In verse 5, he says, by remember the days of old. And we're in this despair and darkness, and we realize, actually, a couple of years ago, I was also in this place, and God rescued me. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, I did have this financial difficulty, and God came through for me. And so he remembers, right, the days of old. And then he meditates on all your doings. God, this is what you've done. This is testimony. This is how we get out of the pit. This is how we get out of ourselves. We remember what God has done. And we focus on his acts and his righteousness. And he says, I muse, and I meditate, his idea, on the work of your hands. Lord, you're powerful. You're the one that's doing these things. And then I stretch my hands out to you, and my soul longs for you as a parched land. And then Selah, the pause to meditate. This should be kind of a recipe or a plan, a procedure for how we act. We are in despair, and then we remember what God has done, and then when it does, it makes us reach out for God. And this is very similar, like, you know, my soul, as a deer pants for water, my soul longs for you. This is a very similar idea. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Lord, now, right, I remember, so now I'm coming to you and I'm grabbing a hold of you. And so then there's the appropriate pause, the Selah. And then in 7, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. He's talking about his weakness. You know, do not hide your face from me, or I'll become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. These are all statements of faith. And then, for I trust in you. So listen to the next one. This is important. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. David recognizes it's a choice. Notice he doesn't say, make me walk, right, in a way I should. He says, Lord, teach me, because ultimately the choice to walk is his. God can't force him or make him walk down this path. He needs to walk down this path. And so he very correctly says, Lord, teach me. I need your instruction so I can make that volitional act of walking in way I should walk. And for to you I lift up my soul. And then deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. This is really the center of the psalm. Again, teach me to do your will. Not make me do your will. Lord, teach me, because doing your will is my will. I have a will, and my will is to do your will. And so it's not make me do your will. Lord, teach me, because it's all in my hands. Why? Because you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, again, going back to that good theology in the beginning, bring my soul out of trouble. Not because of what I've done or what I'm going to do, Lord, but because you are righteous. That's who you are. And in your loving kindness, right, cut off my enemies, destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Now, brothers and sisters, this morning, if we have bargained with God, which is very apt for us to do sometimes, let's get out of that mode. We appeal to Christ not because we're good. We appeal to Christ because we're not good. We appeal to Christ not because we've done so many things. We appeal to Christ because he is good, and he is righteous, and he is holy. And so we ask for the righteousness of God to come upon us. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, that if you have bargained with God, let's repent. Let's turn our hearts away. Let's appeal not for what we've done or what we will do. Let's appeal to the Lord because of who he is. He's a loving Father. As Nikki leads us in a song, let's meditate on that.